Today, I am going to do a one-on-one interview with the principal deputy White House press secretary. Yes, the 34-year-old Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She is right now one of the most powerful young women in America. She is fearless, quick on her feet, and a rising star in the administration. So, friends, get ready. Tell your friends to join you now. We are about to go on an incredible ride together on Ronnie Floyd on Life and Leadership Today.
Today more than ever, our homes, churches, and nation need strong leadership. Ronnie Floyd has over 30 years of experience leading one of the largest churches in America. He has led the largest evangelical community in the nation and is influencing the country with strong biblical convictions. And he believes that people can change the world. With his legacy of influence, Ronnie Floyd is committed to the development of leaders. And now, here's your host, Ronnie Floyd, on Life and Leadership Today.
I cannot wait to get into this exciting interview today with Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the principal deputy White House press secretary. I have to admit it, I am a fan of Sarah. I love to watch her in action as she deals with the press corps and some of the media's best. She is not intimidated. She stands strongly. She speaks clearly. She really is amazing. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, welcome to Ronnie Floyd on Life and Leadership Today.
Thank you so much for having me. As always, it's an honor, one, to be with you and also to talk to friends back home in Arkansas.
Well, thank you so much, Sarah. It's really a privilege. And I want to go straight to the heart of so many reasons why I wanted to have you on this podcast today. But I want to start here. What is it like for you to know that you have been given this incredible privilege to be the White House Deputy Press Secretary? I mean, that must be quite surreal at times, is it not?
It certainly is, yes, sir. And I think you used a word that I often use when talking about this job, is it's an absolute privilege and it's an honor to be here. And my goal is every day to never forget that, to walk in and be reminded of how grateful I am to be here and to be part of this every single day. And if we ever get to a place where we're not honored to be here and we don't think that it's a privilege, then we've certainly been here too long and it's time to go back home. It's an honor to be here and be part of the administration, and certainly something that I don't think any of us take lightly, and hopefully we'll be reminded of that every day and why we're here. It's not because of anything that we did, but certainly by the grace of God and so many other people that helped, one, get the president elected, and two, that helped the rest of us be lucky and blessed enough to be part of his administration.
Sarah, you know, you're 34 years of age. And
don't
I have,
remind and me. I'm almost... I'm almost 35, which puts me closer to 40 than 30.
Oh,
so I
Sarah.
Try to keep doing my 29th birthday over and over.
Here you are, 34 years of age, and I've got to ask you, I mean, what is it like as a young, successful woman to know that millions of Americans are watching you deal with some of the media's best and most difficult questions and personalities in the room? I mean, what is it like?
I mean, it can certainly be stressful in large part because, you know, you're not speaking for yourself. You're speaking on behalf of somebody else. And so your goal is to go out and do the very best that you can to represent the president and represent and reflect his message and his views. And sometimes it's just difficult to speak for someone else. I think my ultimate goal every day when I go out there, obviously, is not only to promote the president's message and the president's agenda, but to be truthful, to be honest, to be transparent. And certainly, you know, the thing that I file in the back of my mind isn't the millions of people watching, but the three kids that I have at home. And so my goal is to always, anything that I say and anything that comes out of my mouth, be something that I would want them to be comfortable hearing, and also something that I would never have to explain or apologize to them for.
I love that perspective. I've got to ask you this question because I just think it's so important to hear. But what do you see as the most pressing issue facing America today?
I think we have a bigger issue with morality than we do with anything else. And I think if we kind of go back to the golden rule and look at things in that perspective and with that in mind of, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, I think we'd all be a lot better off. I think
no question.
Gotten to a place in this world where particularly even in a lot of work that I'm in dealing with the press, I mean, tensions can often be high, tempers can get hot. And I think if everybody just kind of took a deep breath and remembered that, you know, being respectful and bring a little bit more civility back to this process. And I think that goes from everything down to the very most bottom level at the home up to the highest levels in government.
Hey, you know, Sarah, I just thought about this, and I really want to ask you about this. We're about a week away from the shooting that took place in Washington with Congressman Steve Scalise and so many others there, those six or seven people that were involved in that. Let me ask you this. What was it like when that news came in? How did you deal with that pressurized situation, the uncertainties, the data, everything you had to absorb? Kind of give us the inside of that within the media of the White House.
You know, obviously something like that is very sensitive and something that you want to, I think, first and foremost, handle with compassion.
Yes.
Above anything else. We're talking about real people, and I think a lot of times that gets lost in whether it's the news or social media. I think we talk so much about people and things taking place in the public sphere that we forget that they're real people, they have real families. And I think that first and foremost, the only way you can deal with a situation like that is with compassion. And I think that was how a lot of people here were. Somebody had an attachment to that story in a pretty wide reaching capacity all across DC and across the country. You have these two Capitol Hill police officers who risked their lives to save the lives of many. And I think that the only way you could deal with that and look at it from the front end is with a heart of compassion for the families and the people that were affected. And so that was the first place to start. And then you kind of work through the process beyond that of collecting information and determining, you know, what the next best steps are.
Very insightful. Thank you for sharing that. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, I love and admire your dad, Mike Huckabee, one of Arkansas's former governors, and of course, your mom, Janet, who's a former first lady of the state of Arkansas.
And they're big fans of yours as well. I can certainly confirm that they are big supporters and big fans of you and the work that you do.
Well, thank you so much. Well, Sarah, what does mom and dad tell you after they've watched you on television? I mean, that's got to be a little weird for them. Here they turn the TV on and there's our daughter. And do they coach you? Do they give you counsel? Do they encourage you? Do they just keep their mouth shut?
Well, you know, my parents aren't exactly the shy crowd, so keeping their mouth shut is usually not something anybody in my family does very well, which is probably why we're all in the business we're in. But they're certainly incredibly encouraging. I couldn't ask for two more supportive parents. But I think primarily, and the number one thing they tell me and push me on is one, to be myself and be true to myself and be faithful, and everything else will kind of fall into place if I do those things.
Yeah, and I'm sure though there are days that you need to hear that. I mean, that's true for all leaders, where we need to anchor ourselves into the basics, and that's tremendous advice for all of us, and thank you for sharing that. Sarah, so many people probably ask you this offline, but I really do want to let our podcast listeners, the thousands of people who will listen to this, they walk in all kind of worlds, from business to sports to entertainment to ministry to politics. But I want to ask you this. For so many of them, they wonder, okay, what is President Donald J. Trump like as a person?
He's incredibly smart, and not just in book smart, which he is, but in street smart.
Right.
He has the ability, one, to, I think, read people well, but also, and one of the things I think that helps, has helped make him a successful executive and businessman, will be one of the things that helps make him a successful president, is that he has the ability to take in an enormous amount of information very quickly and make a decision. He can take viewpoints and data and opinions and analysis, a lot of it from a lot of places and a lot of people, very quickly process it and make a decision and move forward with it. And that's something you really need in an executive, somebody who can that. And he has that ability. And it's not something that you can learn or be taught. It's just something you either have or you don't.
That's right.
And he certainly has that. And I think it's one of the better attributes for somebody in a leadership position, somebody in the White House and in the seat of the president, is to be able to do that very thing. He is somebody who certainly, I think, has a bigger heart than a lot of people give him credit for. You see glimpses of this when he talks about things like Otto, the student that came back from North Korea, the gas attacks that we saw. You know, you catch glimpses of this in some of those moments when he has the ability to talk about things that are a little bit more personal, certainly. And when he talks about his family, his kids, you see that interaction with his kids. I think those are certainly things that a lot of people don't get to see that are very touching and a big part of who he is.
Thanks for sharing that. That's encouraging, and hopefully it will encourage those who listen today. Well, Sarah, now that you've been on this national political scene, tell us about maybe a leadership lesson or two that you've learned from working over the last, not just several months, but you've been on the scene a long time. Tell us about maybe a leadership lesson or two you've learned.
You know, I think it's one of the best things is to lead by example, and certainly never do or I'm sorry, never ask anybody to do something you aren't willing to do yourself. And that you haven't done. You know, don't ask people to take on a task that you wouldn't be willing to do in your on your own or you haven't done. And I think having kind of grown up in this process, I've worked at the very lowest levels of a campaign to the highest levels of a campaign. I worked in some of the lowest levels of government. Right. So to get to do it on this stage, I understand what a lot of the people that are working here in different capacities, some of the roles that they've taken on, and I've been through that process. And so I think it helps to remember all of those things that you know, I was doing at 16, 17, 22, whatever it was, and keeping that in mind. And again, just never doing anything that you don't want the people coming behind you or maybe working with you or under you that you don't want them to do.
And I'm sure, Sarah, your challenge in time management is massive. And so how do you navigate through that and the whole discipline issues of life to help you get accomplished what you need to accomplish in a given day?
I mean, I certainly could, I think, always manage my time a little better and get sidetracked a little less. But thankfully, I think being a mom of toddlers has helped me master the ability to multitask.
Yeah.
And so that definitely is something that helps. But I think one of the big things in terms of discipline for me that helps keep me sane and also a very good reminder of what's important is making sure that I block time off for my family. And when I'm with my kids, trying to be really present and not just to be there. You know, I have to kind of constantly remind myself to put my phone down and check out for blocks of time so that I can, you know, sit and have dinner with my kids where I engage them in conversation. I think, frankly, it makes me not just a better mom, but a better person, and therefore better at my job when I have those kind of reminders of, you know, what's really important. And what my priorities are.
Absolutely. Well, Sarah, I want you to help us understand something about the media today the best you can, and I'm not sure anybody can dissect it, you know, at all. But I want to give you a shot, because here's what I want our folks to understand. What should we look for in helping us to discern what the real truth is today? I mean,
that's easy. Just listen to the stuff I say and block out everything else.
That's a great answer, girl. That you're right. That I do trust. Trust me. But you know, I mean, it's amazing. You can see the normal news story. It could be the basic of the basic, all the way to some major political story. And it is every network is going to report it from an entirely different perspective. It just blows me away. Truth is truth. But help us out. How do we discern what that real truth is?
You know, I think that's a real challenge. We do have a big problem, I think, in the media, that there's no accountability left. I mean, used to,
that's right,
nothing went to print if, like, you know, 6-7 editors hadn't looked at it. And now anybody with an iPhone can essentially be a reporter. They are interviewing people on the streets. They're writing blog posts from wherever. They're pushing out things on social media, and it can go viral quickly. And none of it has to be true. None of it has to be checked or balanced. There's no accountability in this process anymore. And so I think that's a big challenge. I hate to say it, but I think people really, if they want the truth, have to spend a little time doing some of their own research. If they want to know what a piece of legislation really does, sometimes you have to stop and actually read it and, look at the breakdown from some of the non-media or non-partisan groups may be able to offer you. But I also think a lot of it, most people in America are a lot smarter, I think, than the media and the world wants to give them credit for. Yeah. And I think most people can discern right from wrong. Certainly you're going to disagree ideologically, but I think if people can look at things through the lens of right and wrong instead of agree, disagree, I think we get a lot further in this process without so much hostility.
Yeah, and I'm really blown away, Sarah, over the reports of so many people reporting something with an anonymous source. I mean, what is an anonymous source? I mean, that just, that, I can't imagine.
I think it would be the checkout guy at the local sandwich shop half the time. You know, you'll see somebody close to the White House. I'm like, well, there's a Cozy next door. Does that count? So I think that sometimes that probably does. There's certainly a lot of reporters and journalists out there that try hard to get it right in the same way that we try hard to get it right. And, most of the time we do. Every once in a while we are human and may not be perfect. And, but I think that you certainly have to, look for that sometimes from a lot of the folks in the media. And, you know, I encourage people to look at the facts instead of the commentary and try to focus on that piece of a story and really make their own decisions from there.
Great counsel, Sarah. Well, I'm talking here today with Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And Sarah, here's my final question for you today. Who are the people or the experiences that have helped shape you who you are today?
You know, I certainly would have to point to my family. My parents have been a huge influence on my life. My dad, having grown up in politics, and but also being a communicator and being a pastor and having that compassion is a huge influence. My mom is somebody who's kind of a constant cheerleader. Never missed anything I've ever done, always there. And sometimes probably in high school, I wish, you know, they didn't always show up and cheer so loud. But now looking back, I'm very grateful that they were there and they did that.
That's good.
But, you know, certainly I think they would have had the biggest impact, certainly in terms of shaping from the very beginning. My husband is an incredible individual. He could not be a better match and a better dad to our kids. So I have the most supportive and loving husband at home, which makes a huge difference in everything I do, and certainly couldn't do any of this without him. He's also the smart one in our family, so I look to him for a lot of help and counsel and advice, and so that certainly can, you know, be a difference maker. I've got two incredible brothers and just a great family support system, which makes a big difference in everything I do. I also went to a small liberal arts college, Wichita Baptist in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And I think that shaped a lot of who I became as an adult and helped prepare me in ways that I didn't even know at the time for life and what was next. And so certainly I would give some credit to my alma mater for helping push me and friends that I made there.
Well, Sarah, for whatever it's worth, I am a fan of Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and you have so energized us today. And I want to thank you for all that you're doing to make a difference in America. And I want to thank you today for being a Ronnie Floyd on Life and Leadership Today podcast.
Absolutely. It was certainly a privilege and, again, an honor. I love talking to people who can understand my accent and appreciate a little Woo Pig Suey and good barbecue. So I'm always thankful to do that, and certainly love you and your family, and glad to be on the show today.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Well, there you have it, folks. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, a learner, a listener, and a great leader. You know, oftentimes some may think their age disqualifies them from leading. Sarah Huckabee Sanders is 34 years of age. Others may think their gender may hinder their opportunities. Sarah Huckabee Sanders is the Deputy White House Press Secretary, and as a young woman, is truly a rising star. You know, whatever your age or your gender or your ethnicity, there is nothing that really hinders your future except you. As Sarah determined, you should also determine, I will make a difference with my life. I believe in you. And yes, I really believe that you can make a difference in your life. It begins today. It begins now. One decision at a time.
Thank you for spending time with us today. Please subscribe, rate, and share this podcast with others. Also follow Ronnie via social media on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Ronnie Floyd. Learn more about Ronnie by visiting ronniefloyd.com. Don't forget to join us next week as we spend time learning together about life and leadership today.